I'm Marissa Norcross.
And I'm Dave Freund, and this is The Next Page.
Dave, we're finally back together for episode 40.
We are. Welcome back. Well, it seems like it has been, I mean, I don't know how many weeks.
I don't remember. It's about maybe four?
I think so, because we did a bunch of episodes ahead of time.
Yeah.
And then I was gone and you were gone. Then I came back and then you left and I did an episode without you.
Mm-hmm.
So I can tell you, I am certain that our listeners are really, really, really happy you're back. Because nobody wants a solo Dave doing The Next Page.
You're too hard on yourself. I listened to it and it was great.
Well, you're too kind. But we are back. And this is episode 40, which is amazing.
Yeah.
I cannot believe that we are at episode 40.
I know. It's crazy.
Time just flies.
It really does.
And today, our topic of my email was, excuse me, but it's not about you.
It's something I think a lot in my mind. I don't always say it out loud, but I think it a lot.
Yeah, and so I do want to identify the fact that we actually did this topic or chose this topic because one of our listeners sent in the suggestion. I believe it was back in December and even had sent in an executive summary of an article that they had read on this topic. And really the topic is going to be about mindfulness for the leader. But let me just introduce the topic by covering a couple high points from my blog post. I recounted an experience that I made some time ago when I was in a rough spot in my career, a rough spot in my life, so to speak, just in terms of feeling worn out, stressed out, burned out, needing a change. And I end up going into my boss's office, and what I got when I went in was the boss hijacking the conversation and this telling me what he felt I needed to do, and that not this crassly, but you know, just suck it up. That's life. You can make it through this. And all I wanted to, and because I have, and I've been successful, and this is what I did, and I felt like saying, it's not about you, it's about me.
Mm-hmm.
But he completely missed the point. And the reality is that it's not that uncommon for leaders to get to that point. And in fact, I was just on a call before we started recording our podcast with someone where I'm doing some training, and I said, it's very common for senior leaders to forget the fact that they really need to have, and we were just talking about the importance of recognition with your direct reports, but they just feel that because they made it, it should be easier for other people to get there perhaps, or that they know it all. We don't necessarily want advice, we just want somebody to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And that was what happened here. And I remember how I felt when I left that meeting, you know, even though it was a while ago, it just feels like it was yesterday. Like, you don't get it, you know, and when as leaders, if we have employees that get to that point, they could be close to leaving and we wouldn't even know it.
Right.
And that's the danger, because we all know we can't find people. So
mm-hmm.
being mindful or being fully present, and that was the point that I had in my blog post, was that if we practice mindfulness, we can learn to be fully present in the conversation so that we will be listening not just for what is being said, but what's not being said. You know, and that was something that Peter Drucker said. It's the most important things aren't what's being said, it's what's not being said.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, I know you have a lot more experience and understanding of mindfulness than I do. So help us out here.
Yeah, I think, you know, jumping back quickly to what you were saying about your experience in this particular meeting, it does, a lot of it comes back to that mindful listening. And it is really challenging. I don't want to downplay that. I struggle with mindful listening. I think a lot of people do. But there are ways to increase your mindfulness, which will then spill over into other areas of your life, including listening. So instead of just listening for what you could say next or what story you can tell from your experience or whatever, then you can listen for what the person, like you said, is not saying, or what their body language might be telling you, instead of
mm-hmm.
you know, racing it through your mind of what you can spit out.
Sure.
So I like to do some research. Some of my favorite sources for this kind of stuff are like Psychology Today, Mental Floss. I love Huffington Post too, because they have so many topics. So I did some research just to find some general benefits of mindfulness.
Super.
And so we can talk through some of those. Better emotional intelligence. I put that one first because I know that you would agree there.
It's near and dear to my heart.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, just think about it. You're more aware both of yourself and of your team.
Right.
Improved focus and productivity. Wouldn't we all love that?
Yeah, absolutely. So can you, so let me ask you this. So when I came back from my vacation, I had improved focus and productivity. Does that mean that going on my vacation and disconnecting from the world helped increase my mindfulness?
Yeah, I would think so. Because instead of letting, you know, you knew that you weren't going to be connected. You knew that you weren't going to have access to your phone and to your emails and all of that. And so you were able to take your mind away from that. Instead of sitting at dinner with your wife and thinking, oh, how many emails do I have waiting for me now that it's been a whole day? And things, you were able to be fully present in your day and with, with your wife or, you know, anyone that you'd be traveling with.
So really the vacation part, I was actually practicing a lot of the same tools that would be used to increase our mindfulness, like the relaxation tools, the breathing type things. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do believe it really would have to be, it has to be a long-term practice. Yes. We'll talk about some practices, but that is a great, like, it's almost like a mindfulness intensive. It's like you're going to a conference when you go on vacation. I definitely would have to agree with that.
I was just looking for another excuse to take a vacation, but
I love vacation, so I'll give you as many excuses as you want.
Well, I am planning another one because I'm told I have to use all my allotted vacation time.
You do.
All right. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay. The next one is enhanced creativity. Again, like as a leader, thinking about, you know, mindfulness for yourself, but also for your team, you know, think about what your team could accomplish if they were, had improved focus, improved productivity, enhanced creativity. I mean, this is great. You should, everyone should be focused on this. Increased tolerance for stress.
Ooh.
That one is super important, and that also I think ties back to a little bit about what you discussed last week about taking time to disconnect.
Right.
We both just came back from vacation, and so I feel like we both increased our tolerance for stress. But on an everyday level, practicing mindfulness can do that for you, because I think you're in a better place. You're less scattered. You're more focused, and therefore, for, you know, I think you're more grounded, and stress won't affect you the same way because you have those planted roots.
And I think it also brings, I think the stress that occurs when we are truly mindful, or we've practiced mindfulness and we've practiced the centering that can come from that, is that we realize that stressing issue isn't really all that bad.
Right.
It's just an annoyance. It's not a tragedy,
which
could cause us to, when we're super hypersensitive, getting back to the emotional intelligence piece, we become so sensitized that any little thing sets us off when they're not big things at all. But that centering or centeredness helps us cope with it.
Right. Definitely. I really like this next one. It's says expanded attention span. And one of the reasons given for this was that that your brain is getting the exercise it needs through your mindfulness practices. So, you know, you're exercising your brain, you're increasing your attention span.
Interesting.
Yeah. And I know, like, I have a short attention span. I think all of our attention spans are getting shorter and shorter because of technology and, you know, shifts in communication away from letters to then emails to now social media. Twitter limits your word count. You know, it's definitely we've trained ourselves to have shorter attention spans and to want information yep. now, and we only want the good stuff, and we want it fast and efficient. Well, sure. You can't always, you know, your attention span does need to be longer. Exercising your brain, you can increase your attention span.
Interesting. That's great. You know, mm-hmm. and I really think that the ability to have an expanded attention span is huge, more so in our family social relationships than even at work.
Mm-hmm.
Because we're shortchanging relationships, and this allows us to really take the time to fully listen, to be fully present.
Absolutely.
And listen and build stronger relationships.
And I think
I love that.
To you even care more. Like, it's not that you can just listen for longer.
Right.
It's that you're more invested in the relationship.
Absolutely. Yeah.
The next one along the same lines, increased working memory.
Mm.
I think, again, from exercising your brain and sorting through what's clutter and what's important.
Yep.
And then the last one I have listed is increased team morale. So, again, from a company-wide point of view, that's something that mindfulness practices that are encouraged in the workplace can definitely improve your team.
That's great. You know, I want to back up just quickly to the increased working memory. You know, you and I both are Mac fans, and we live in a PC world, but at home I have my iMac, and it was slowing down, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. I think I even mentioned to you that, man, I don't know what's wrong with my Mac, but this. Mm-hmm. So when we had one of our quote unquote snow days lately, or recently, I actually took the chance to call into Apple. And this technician walked me through it. And basically, it was just helping declutter the computer. We do it mm-hmm. we see the same thing. But years ago, you probably wouldn't remember this, but we used to have to defrag our hard drives all the time when PCs start up. And it was because there was data scattered all over it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like we're defragging our brains.
Mm-hmm.
Get all the nonsense out of the way, put everything in the right spot so that we have increased attention span, working memory, and faster recall, those type of things. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, and without getting too far off on a tangent here, I always say, you know, like physical clutter equals mental clutter. So even though we're talking about mindfulness, it is important to note that like your life, even not just internally, but externally, if it's full of clutter, like that permeates through to you. And so
I see.
It's important to not only clean up your mind and clean up your hard drive, but, you know, look around. If you're in a space that like isn't giving you life and is just like sucking life out of you because there's too much stuff, or, you know, it's just full of junk, or it's not organized, or you don't know where anything is. I mean, it's important to sort through that too, because physical clutter is mental clutter.
Okay. So now you've got us all excited that we know what we know the benefits of this. How do we get there?
So there's a few different ways, and by no means is the list that we have completely exhaustive, but, you know, I know you and I have some favorites, and then doing some additional research, we found some other options. We've talked about this first one before, a daily meditation practice.
Yes.
And that can sound incredibly intimidating. I've tried a few different things for this one. My mom used to actually go to a guided meditation, like a live guided meditation every week.
Okay.
And I went with her to that a few times, and that was definitely something I feel like I would have needed to work up to, and very lengthy. But a great place to start there's like apps that you can do this right in your home. Wake up in the morning and use an app. There's Calm, which we've talked about before, and there's another one called Headspace that I know a lot of people use. I think there's probably a few more that I'm not aware of, but it doesn't have to be lengthy. You don't have to sit for an hour to do this. Even 5 or 10 minutes, making it a daily practice. Start at 5 minutes, maybe work up to 10 minutes. Maybe you like it so much that you can increase. You know, the app that you and I use, you can set the time that you want to use.
Right.
And that's a great practice to get in the habit of doing every morning. or, yep. And you know, it's beneficial if you can't do it in the morning, any time of day, but they do say that morning is the best time because you start your day like that.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. The second one is to observe your breathing. And I'm sure that's really not a complete surprise that we're going to talk about breathing, but it's something that, you know, obviously we do constantly, but we don't think about, we don't appreciate, and we don't always realize that, you know, when you're sitting calmly watching TV, it's slower. When
right.
you're in a heated argument or feeling threatened, or, you know, your fight or flight response is kicking in, it's picking up and it's shallower.
Yep.
It's important to observe your breathing and notice how it impacts how you feel. So when you're starting to feel stressed at work, maybe you get an email and, you know, it's not the response you were hoping for. You start, your heart might start racing, your breathing picks up. Take that as an opportunity to shift your breathing. And then,
right.
you know, when you slow your breathing down, you can slow your thoughts down and yeah. improve your mindfulness and focus on what's important and realize sure. that you're sweating the small stuff, you know?
Yeah. You know, I had a scenario that was a scenario. This is a typical scenario for me.
Mm-hmm.
When I get anxious, I hold my breath.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll find, because all of a sudden I'll find myself like almost gasping for air. It's like, yeah. what's going on? Well, I inhale and then I just hold my breath in.
Mm-hmm.
And yet that's the worst thing I can do. If I would just start to breathe,
yeah,
everything would be better.
And think about, too, where your breath is going. Like, are you actually breathing from your belly like you should be? Like,
right.
where you're feeling your whole lungs expand and your rib cages will expand because of it? Or are you just
yep.
chest breathing where,
right.
you know, it's just
right.
not getting deep enough?
And I love when you turn on the Calm app, the first thing it says is breathe,
mm-hmm.
which I think is great.
Yeah. Yeah. The next one I have on my list is to examine your routines and to be mindful of your day to day. So
mm-hmm.
you can examine anything and everything. One of those things could be your eating. Are you someone who eats while you're working at your desk and before you know it, your plate of food is gone and you haven't even really paid attention to what you were doing because you're too busy okay. answering emails. It's sure. It's really hard if you're someone who typically like does other things while you're eating. I want to challenge you to actually sit at a table in a chair with proper like a real plate, fork, knife, whatever, you know, napkin, and eat without your phone, without your TV,
yes.
without your yep. computer. You know, try it alone. Even that would be like the ultimate challenge.
Yeah.
Is and then, you know, appreciate what's on your plate. Examine the colors, the smells, the sights, the taste, and really like take it all in and take your time to enjoy it and be mindful about what you're doing. And then carry that into your life. So when it's family dinner time, phones go away, TV is turned off.
Sure.
And be mindful of that routine with your family.
Yep.
Other things like simply brushing your teeth. Someone once told me, he's like, do you ever notice that when you, he's like, there's a study, and I didn't look up the study, but that says like when you put your deodorant on in the morning, everyone has a very precise way, like specific way that they do it. And
yep.
the number of swipes they make with the deodorant is the same.
It's true. Yes.
And they start on the same side and it's the same, you know, direction and number of swipes mm-hmm. every time. And I was like, that's mind-blowing, but it's so true because we don't think to examine those routines and
right.
and think about what you're actually doing and bring your focus to that. Usually when you're brushing your teeth or doing something mindless like that, your focus is on something else. You're brushing your teeth as fast as you can because you're worried you're going to be late.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why it becomes a routine because you fall into it like that. But a way to practice mindfulness is to examine those and just be aware. Okay. It's really about awareness and what you're
sure.
doing.
Sure.
And the next one is listen wholeheartedly, which we've
yeah.
touched on already. But again,
yeah.
to pick up on what's being said, what isn't being said, what body language is telling you.
Right.
really trying to understand what that person needs and why they're telling you. Are they telling you because they're looking for an answer or a solution, or do they just need mm-hmm. to get it out?
Sure. And I have an example of a scenario that some of our listeners might be able to connect to, because it'll be like a business type setting, where I was on a sales call with a colleague once, and we had gone up to a company about an hour away from our office, and my colleague was making a presentation, and he was so focused on making his points that he was completely oblivious to the people in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And at one point, about 10 minutes before the meeting ended, the presentation ended, the president of the company that we were presenting to closed the folder and pushed it forward on the table and rocked back in his chair. And I noticed that, but my colleague yeah. didn't. He was so unaware of what was going on around him and so focused on what he thought he needed to do that he missed the fact that 10 minutes before he ended, the president of that company had already shut down his mind on that project.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, perhaps if he would have picked up on it, he might have been able to save the sale, so to speak.
Right.
But he just blew right through it.
Right.
And I'll never forget that. That image is burned into my brain.
Mm-hmm.
And it happens at work. It happens at home. We got to learn to be fully present when we're listening and talking and listening with people.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Very good.
The last
thoughts
one,
and emotions.
Yeah, observe your thoughts and emotions. So again, just being aware of where you're letting your mind take you. Are you headed down a rabbit hole of what ifs? When you have no idea of, you get an email from your boss that says, come down to my office for a meeting Friday at 4.
Right. And I know where you're going.
Yeah. And your mind starts racing. I'm getting fired, or I did something wrong, and I'm getting miserable. Yeah.
Right.
Observe your thoughts and determine if you're processing fact or you're processing some kind of fiction that you
sure
made up. And then also Valerie, with your emotions.
Yeah, as Valerie Burton would say, are you catastrophizing?
Yes.
You know, where we do it all the time.
Mm-hmm.
We work up these unbelievable catastrophes in our mind, and it's really just that.
I'm pretty it's good creative. At it. Yeah.
Oh, I am as well. I am as well.
So like some other things that we didn't add on to my written list here, but I think like exercise, yes. Not necessarily just yoga. People always assume mindfulness with yoga. Yoga is a great practice for mm-hmm. both your body and your mind, but that's not the only thing. Really, anything that takes focus, which would be pretty much just about any kind of exercise, running. Yeah. Walking, just being on the elliptical, really anything where you have an opportunity to be all there. Because if you're on an elliptical or you're on a treadmill and you're not all there, you will be falling off. So sure it does, enough. It does, cause you, require you to focus.
Great.
Yeah. So we covered a lot of different things here, and by no means are we experts, but I know these are things that you and I have both been trying to implement into our
right.
lives.
Yes, we have. And I, I'm struggling with it, but I'm sticking with it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to try to figure this one out. So,
yeah.
Outstanding.
So
we have finished episode 40.
Yeah. What are we going to do for 41?
Are you ready for this?
Yeah.
I'm going to talk about ballerinas.
Oh, perfect.
That's how's that?
Perfect
huh?
for me.
And you will be blown away with how I'm going to work that into leadership.
I will be, but I did ballet for 23 years.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no, you didn't? Okay. Yes.
No.
And I taught ballet for some span of time too. And now I've got my own little ballerina at home.
You do?
Yes.
And my granddaughter goes to ballet every Thursday.
Oh, how nice.
My little 4-year-old Ellie Bell there. So
aww.
Great. So anything exciting happening this weekend?
This weekend, well, we're celebrating my birthday this weekend.
I was going to say that. Happy birthday. Yes,
thank you.
That's awesome.
Thanks.
You're 21 all over again.
Yes.
You're so young, it doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter. No, I will be 27. So.
Wow. Congratulations.
Thank you. So, unfortunately, with the weather being as it is, we probably won't do much. I've had, with my birthday being where it falls, I've had birthdays where it's been beautiful and sunny.
Sure,
and
sure.
70 degrees, and then I've had birthdays where it's been snowstorm. So.
Well, you have a wonderful birthday with you and your family.
Thank you. What are you doing this weekend?
Bathroom.
Still.
It's almost done. It's almost done. No, I may also, if I can squeeze a little bit of time, I may go do some skiing. I'm not sure.
Oh.
Because I don't have many more. Well, who knows? Who knows how long the snow's going to last?
But, I know.
But yeah, I'm just looking forward to a nice weekend. I'm actually, the bathroom is usable. It's just there's little things here and there we're finishing up. So we're excited about that.
Awesome.
It was a long project.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, we want to ask everyone to, please send us feedback, subscribe, rate the podcast, share it with your friends. We certainly like to expand our reach even more. We know that we go all the way out to the Northwest and we go down into Florida and up into Maine. But we'd like to get as many listeners as possible because we believe that the things we talk about can be helpful for folks.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us what you'd like us to talk about. Like today's session was suggested by one of our faithful listeners, and we appreciate that.
Yes, we do.
So with that, I'm Dave Freund.
I'm Marissa Norcross.
And this was The Next Page.